Hi, and welcome to MVC Storefront Part 8. This is a real-world application building exercise wherein we're building out an e-commerce website using ASP.NET MVC. My name is Rob Connery. I work for Microsoft. My email is robcon@microsoft.com. Please email me if you have any questions or leave a comment on this blog. I've been receiving a ton of feedback on the architecture and data access and other things. I love it, so please keep it coming. It's what's driving this whole series. So if you have anything to say, as always, send me an email, leave a comment. It's good stuff. But this week, one of the things I really enjoyed was receiving some patches and some suggestions for the code. First and foremost, Christian Schiffer took a look at how we're implementing the clear method on LazyList and had a code suggestion, so I implemented that, and many thanks to Christian. Next up, Aga Asif Raza, and I hope I say your name right there, had a question about the logic we used inside of the service class for composing a product before sending it out, in other words, adding images and reviews and so on. And so one of the things that he brought up was, why aren't we using LazyList inside the repository? And that was a great point. And so that is what I did today. I made that refactor, and you'll see it later on in this episode. Finally, I'd like to talk about the sort of quality of the comments that's coming in. And, you know, I really appreciate everything that's coming back, but a lot of times I think people get frustrated when they don't feel like their voice is heard, or if they have a strong point they want to get across. I'd like to ask you to always be professional. I've had to delete out a few comments, so please, if you're feeling frustrated about something, take a deep breath, perhaps a walk around the block. I certainly want to listen to you, but the thing I don't want to do is kind of take this to a really negative place. So once again, please be as professional as you can. That said, let's keep moving on to part 8. In part 7, I worked on routing with Scott Hanselman, and we created our initial route here called the category route, which is for browsing products on the main display page there by category and subcategory. I will be adding to this route as we move along, but before I do that, I want to make sure that I'm doing kind of the test first thing. So I want to switch gears here back to our controller and make sure that it's set up optimally for testing, and right now it's not. Okay, what I've done here is create a constructor overload that takes in an iCatalog repository, so I can specify that data. The default one will remain the SQL Catalog repository, so now we can test this controller nicely. Okay, what I've done here is simply just create another private variable. Again, I'm in my test class, and on test initialize, I'm running a setup routine that is going to instantiate the test catalog repository variable here. So I can just pass this into my controller. So now when I rerun this test to make sure it works, hopefully everything will work just fine. And it does. So that's good. So now we know the constructor works, the controller is taking in the test data, and that's good stuff. Okay, picking up the pace here a little bit. Now that I have a nice testable controller that's taking in test data, I needed to do a couple more things here. First thing is, I wrote a test to kind of verify and validate that I have a view data class, and in this case I do. I'm calling it catalog data, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is a pretty fairly straightforward basic way of passing data between the controller and the view, which is to define a class in the controller and pass it down into the view. In this case, it's just kind of a data holding class is the best way to think of it. And in here I have product and category, subcategory, the list of categories, etc. And I have a constructor that will set each one of these things. So back here in my test, I just have a test here that asserts that it can exist. And so it's a pretty basic test. It passes. I'm not going to go into that now. I kind of want to keep things moving. All right, well, the next thing I did was the thing that's of great interest, probably more interest here, kind of brings everything together. What I want to do is I want to test this index method now on my controller. And since I'm able to pass in test data, this is really nice. I'm not actually hitting the database, so I can have a nice controlled test. Now, first thing to note here, to make this thing work, be testable, is this idea of an action result. So with the latest drop of the MVC framework, Phil and the gang have made it so that instead of void, which is what this used to be, it now returns a result. This may seem sort of strange, especially to something like render view, but what this allows you to do is to get away from mocking, and mocking to the extreme, let's say, just to view the controllers. So before, what you had to do is mock all the HTTP context, the view context, controller context, all that stuff, just to test this thing, and it was a little bit daunting to get around, but you don't have to do that anymore. All you got to do now is test the result that comes back to you. Well, in this case, What's coming back here is a render view result, which is this guy right here. If I say return render view, you can see as I hover over it, that's actually returning a render view result. So I think that's pretty appropriately named. And then all you have to do here is cast the return of the index method here to a render view result, and now you have access to all kinds of good stuff. So if I click on IntelliSense here on result, you can see I can access the view data, the view engine, the view name, and so on. So in this case, I'm instantiating my controller. I'm passing in the test data repository. I'm telling it to use the parent 1 and sub 10 category and subcategory, which I know are in my test catalog repository. And what I really want to test is that it puts together, grabs the data the way it should be set up, and assigns it to the catalog data class, and passes it down to the view as it should. So if I run this test, as you can probably imagine, it will fail. So let's just verify that, and it does fail. So now what I need to do is come back in here to the catalog controller and write just enough code to make this test pass. And here's the code for that. This is pretty simple stuff. On the index page, all I really want to do is to pull a list of categories so I can show the navigation. Then I want to be able to grab the category and subcategory that are being passed in here. And the subcategory is going to have all the products that I want to view on it. So in this case, I'm pretty much ready to go here. I have my list of categories being pulled out of the service. The service is using the repository that's passed into the controller here. So this is going to be our test catalog repository. And then I'm simply selecting these out of this main list here. So it's nice and easy. I only have one database hit. The last thing I have to do is make sure that I pass in the data class down to the RenderView method. So if I go back into the catalog controller and I run, hopefully this will all work nicely. And it does. Great. So what this test is telling me is that I have all my data lined up the way it should be. I have a category, subcategory, products, and I make sure that the count of products is greater than 0. And that's good stuff. My testing is not done, however, because if you notice back here, this is not a really good construction of pulling data. If you notice, I'm accepting strings. These strings are manufactured from the URL as dictated by the routes. And if you saw yesterday, Scott and I were able to put Scott and Rob in as category and subcategory. And what would happen there is this statement here would render this null, because there is no category in my test data called Scott or Rob. So I don't really have a very good check here. What I do have is the notion of a default category. So what I'm going to do is in the case where either of these is null, I'm going to reset it to a default category. So people can fudge with the URL all they want, but if it's picked up and sent to this route and we don't have the proper data, we're just going to reset it to the default. So let's set up a test for that scenario. Okay, here's my new test. Basically call it the catalog controller, should return default categories and data for a bad category. So the same test as above. The only difference is I'm sending in foo and bar here. So now what I can do is run this and I should get a failure. And it's going to be that same cast exception. It's a null reference, which is exactly what I thought it would be. So if I come back to the controller now, what I need to do is implement a catch. Okay, here's the code that I had to implement to make sure that the data passed in is valid. It's a little more code than I want to write, but that's okay. Just going to write it enough to get the test to pass, and then I'll be able to refactor it as time goes on here. So the first thing I'm doing here is I'm just checking to make sure that the category is null. If it is, then I'm just going to go and grab the default category that I've specified in the database and also in my test catalog repository. And then I'm going to set the subcategory equal to the first one under that. If the category is not null, that still leaves a chance that the passed in subcategory here could be fudged up somehow. So what I want to do there is I want to make sure that it's not null. And if it is, by any chance, I'll just again set it to the first subcategory for the passed in category. Okay, so if we go back to our controller tests and we run that, yeah, that's good stuff. Okay, then we get it to pass. All right, so one last thing I want to test here, I kind of did this a little bit backwards, but I'll forgive myself, is I want to make sure that if we have a valid parent and an invalid sub, then everything will still work as it should. So this test is pretty simple to write, and let's rename this method here to bad subcategory, and let's run that test and make sure our method works. And it does. Good stuff. Okay, so now people can fudge the URL a little bit, and it's kind of the job of the controller over here to handle the user input. Again, I'm going to want to refactor this. All right, and following along with our pipes and filter strategy, now what I have here is with category name extension method that's extending iList of category. So this will be used for kind of in-memory stuff, not necessarily stuff that we're going to be hitting the database with. So what I can do is, and I can change that too later if I want to, by the way. So anyway, I can go back to our controller, and now what I can do is get rid of this, and instead I can just say the category equals data.categories, with category name and then category. A lot more readable, and that's nice. And I can do the same down here and set this to data.subcategory equal to the same thing. And with category name, subcategory. Alright, so refactoring away. Now I've got one more in here where I'm checking for the default. So let's go and do that. Same thing pretty much. I've just planted this in one place now. And back here in the controller, I can now set this to be data.categories.default category. There we go. And now I can do one more little thing here. This is a little bit of a nit. If I don't need two lines, I don't want two lines. I know this is a little bit picky, but I don't really need to do this because there's the null coalescing operator I can use. And what I can basically set is this to that, and I can just put two question marks in there. So now I've shortened this a lot to make it a little bit more readable. I've gotten rid of the link code, and I think this is acceptable. So if we come back here to our tests, hopefully I haven't destroyed everything, and I want to run this and make sure it all passes, and it does. That's exciting. It's exciting to see a test pass. I was told that you get a rush when that happens. I have to say I got a little bit of something going there. Great. Okay, so now let's move on. Now that I have my catalog controller basically set up and ready to go for the index method here, what I want to do is start working on how I'm going to output the data to the page. First thing I'm going to want to do is come into this page here and make sure that the page is typed. Now, if you are unfamiliar with MVC, you might want to stop at this point and go do a little quick brush up on this, but just know that we're not working with a typical web forms page. What we are working with is a typed view page. The reason it's typed is so the controller can pass in typed data into the view page so we can work with it. So the type I'm going to be working with here is mvc.web.controllers.catalogcontroller.catalogdata. That's the class that I was working with previously here, which is this guy right in there. So that is our view data class that we're passing from the controller down to the view. Okay, so that is all typed and set. So now what I can do is I can come in here to this page and I can say something like view data dot, and now you can see I'm working with some typed data, which is great. Okay, well, the first thing I want to output here is a list of all the categories so we can run some navigation. Now I might be tempted to just come up here and start coding out a for each. But I don't want to do that. The reason why is I know straight away that this list I'm about to create is going to be used all over the place in a lot of different pages. So what I want to do is I want to make a what's called in Rails a partial. You can call them a user control, although that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's sort of a partial view is the best way to think about it, but I'll call it a user control for now. So I'm going to put that in the shared folder here, and what I'm going to do is just call it category list, and it's going to simply do that, display a list of categories. So let's do that real fast. All right, here's my brand new user control called category list. It's pretty basic. As you can see, I have a div called category navigation. I'm going to have some styling set for that, which floats it up off to the left where I want it to be. And I'm basically just outputting an unordered list, and I'm outputting the parent name here. Now, one thing that you may be looking at here like I am is, man, there's a lot of colors and a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, we can limit that a little bit here. First and foremost, notice here that I have to output the strong name because this page has no idea where this data bit is. In fact, if I come in the code behind file here, if I put a using statement in, that does me no good. So the first thing I want to do is I want to come to the web.config file here and double click, open it up. Now if you scroll down through all of this XML, you'll get to a spot called namespaces under the pages directive here. Now all these namespaces are namespaces that are available within a view page or a view user control. So what I want to do right now is I want to add in the namespace commerce.mvc.data. And so what this will allow me to do is come back in here to my category list and get rid of that. It just makes it a little bit more readable. Okay, notice here that I'm not passing in anything. I'll talk about that in a second. And finally, the one thing I kind of skipped over, I didn't mean to, is that this class here, this view user control, is typed to iList of category. So this is important. This is the data that I will be passing in. I do not want to pass in the data from my controller. I certainly could, but if you do that, it kind of makes this a little less usable. So if I wanted to use this with another controller, for instance, what you want to do is make this as generic as you possibly can. So given that, I can save this up, and if I want to go ahead and use this on my page here, I certainly can. I can output HTML.renderUserControl, and I can come in here and I can give it the path to it and say views shared. Oh boy, shared, and what's the name of it? Nah, I don't want to do this. So this isn't something I really want to do, because as you can tell, if I have to go and put render control with the hard path everywhere, I'm kind of violating something I've started previously, which is I don't want a bunch of strings with file directives in them. So what I'm going to do now, before I do any of this, let's get rid of this bit here, is I'm going to go back to my app helper class here, which is in my helpers folder right here. And what I want to do now is I'm going to add a little helper for rendering a user control. All right, this is a quick and dirty implementation. Just kind of putting a wrapper around the render user control. So what I'm simply doing is I'm doing an extension method on HTML helper, and I'm passing in a control name, and I'm passing in the data. And then I'm setting the control path using the virtual path utility, and then I'm using render user control. So that's good stuff. Now what I can do is come back here, and I can say HTML.render commerce control. That's exciting. And so now what I can say is category list.ascx without any file reference to it. And ideally, if I've done everything right, this should pop up. Now it won't pop up. And the reason why it won't, and this is something I meant to go into, but I'm doing this a little bit out of order. Look at this URL. This happens, I can't tell you how many times a day, to poor people out there using the MVC framework. And that's only because there is a project setting that is not able to be set by the templates. So if you look at this, this application is trying to render views catalog index.aspx. It's because if I come in here, you can see that that is the page that is highlighted. So this is a tooling issue, as they say, inside Microsoft. And so to get around this, what I'm going to do right now is to show you a little bit of a hack that I like to do to get around it. So it's not really a hack, it's just a setting. So I go back into properties of the project here, and what I want to do is go to the web tab right here. I want to set a specific port, and I don't want to use the current page for start action. I want to set a start URL, and I'm going to set this to localhost 1019, which is the port. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to set this to store. That is the URL, the routing URL that I set up with Scott, and I'm going to be using this for testing. All right, so now that's good to go. And now what I can do is run this. And let's see, where did the page go? Oh, there it is. Whoops, got a little bit of an error. I forgot to pass in the data. So let me go back into the code. And notice I don't need to stop the debugger for this, which is nice. So I can say viewData.categories, because that's what it wants. It's an iList of categories in there. So if I come back in here and I refresh, yay, look at that. We have data on our page. That's exciting. OK, but it's not going anywhere. Notice that if I hover over this, it's just going to a pound sign. So let's fix that. Now, in this case, I can just leave the debugger going because I'm just doing some UI logic. But in this case, what I want to do is I want to reformat this URL. Now, notice that I have a choice here. I can come in here and I can put something like store, and then I can say, oh, we need the parent category, right? But I don't want to do that because if I hard code this stuff and I change my routes later, this is likely to break. So I'm not going to do that. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the HTML helpers that some clever dude created a while back with the HTML MVC toolkit. Excuse me, for the MVC toolkit, not HTML toolkit. I'm going to use the action link, and I'm going to set this off to the catalog controller. Oh, it looks like I need to use the catalog controller. You know what? I'm going to pause and refactor this. And to do that, I just need to come in here. Should have done this from the get-go. Okay, now I can go back to my page here and reset this like this, and it knows what I'm talking about, which is exciting. So I can say X, and then I'm going to pass it to the index method, and I'm going to send in the parent name and the child name. Great. And then for the text, I'm going to send in the child name. I believe that's all I need to do. Good stuff. So now if I get rid of that right there. Now if I run this, I should have some nice URLs. Good. Okay, notice the URL down below. We have the URL gets picked up, the host gets picked up. Store is recognized because it's matched against current routes. And apparel and boots is passed in just like we want. And we click this, and nothing happens, and that's okay, because now we got to go, and we have to create another route. Let's do that. The categories are showing up nicely on the navigation side. Now what I want to do is give them a place to go when I actually click on it. And you see the list of products, and you click on the product. So the next thing I need to do here is I want to create a route for a given product, so that when the product ID is passed in, or the product code, I should say, that the route gets mapped nicely. So what I'm going to do here is create a new route. Okay, here's my new route called product, and this is going to look for the URL structure starting with store, and three variables passed in. The last is going to be product. Now, the interesting thing here is I don't really need any defaults, nor do I want them. In this case, I'm just going to say head to the catalog controller and fire the show method. So let's go over to our controller here and see if there is a show action or method here. And there is not. Okay, it means we need to write a whole another set of tests. So let's do that. Okay, here's my next test method, which is just checking to make sure that the show method returns some data. Now in this case, I'm passing in SKU1, which is my product code, and if we take a look here at the test catalog data repository, you can see that as I'm creating products, I'm kind of appending in the loop variable here with SKU, so that's how I know the product code is in the test result set. And what I'm doing is I'm going to be passing in this repository here, the test repository, and might as well do that above too. And anyway, passing that in, and I'll be working with that test data here. And what I want to do is make sure that I have a category, subcategory, and a product at the very least. And then I'm going to make sure that the product that's passed back in the view data is the product I'm expecting. So great. So now what I need to do is run this test right here. And ideally it'll fail. And it does. I get that cast exception again, which saying view data is null, so it's not going to work. So let's go and change the view data and make it work. Okay, I'm writing the code here on my show method, and the thing I'm finding out here is that I have a way to get the categories out of the service, but what I don't have is a way to pull the product using, if I type get product here, I have to pass in the ID. I don't have the ID, I have the product code. So what I need to do right now is to stop and write a test and make sure I can pull that data out by product code, and let's do that. Okay, so here's my test to get around that issue. Basically now created another overload here for get product. I also created another filter, which is called with product code, and that will help me pull out products by code as well as by ID. And so if we come back to our tests, I've gotten around that. And that test passes. Okay, so that's good. So I can come in here and I can say data.product equals service.getProduct, and we can pass in the product code. I've set the data as I need to here, and what I need to do now is I need to set that and pass back the data. So I come back to the test. Now I run it, and hopefully, fingers crossed, great, passes. Okay, that is kind of getting us along the road here to being able to view the show method. So now what I want to do is I want to display the list of products and then have it clickable so you can go see the show action here with the product on it. So let's do that. Okay, so I've created a product list, a product display user control here. I have opened up the code behind, and notice that it is a view user control. And I have typed it to be to take in a Commerce MVC data product. So now on the product display control page itself here, we can work with some nice typed data. So one quick note of refactoring here. If you notice, I'm working with images. I got a comment on my blog that said, "Well, why are you setting that in the catalog service?" Which is what I used to do. So if we come down here to the catalog service, when I asked for products down below here, I was setting each one of the images down here, and I've gotten away from that. What I did was I've moved this down to the repository level, which makes complete sense. So if I go into the data, into the SQL catalog repository, you can see now that under get product, I've got a couple new lazy lists that I'm using, which are for review and for images. So that was a great point of feedback. And let's see, so that's about it. So to use this now on the index page, all I'm simply going to do is do a for each inside of a new class called product list display, and I'm going to do a for each over here, and I'm going to render the commerce control product display, and I'm going to pass in the product that I'm going to be using. So that's easy enough. Let's take a look at what that looks like. And it loads up. And great, we have our navigation as we want. So now if we click on a category like boots, and great, up pops some nice images and a price. That looks nice, formatted the way it should be, description. And now what we need to do here is make it so that when we click on this link, we need to work up a show page here. So let's do that real fast. Okay, here is my product display page, which I've called show.aspx. Take a look at the code behind here. You can see that it takes catalog data from the controller. And to remind you once again, here is the routine that is on the show method here. And basically all this is just categories for the category list for navigation. And then we're getting products from the service. So in this case, what we need to do is just basically show the product. Here's we're rendering out the navigation and then showing the product right here using the exact same control. Sorry about the sirens in the background if you can hear them. It's a big swell day, and lots of people tend to get in trouble swimming in the water when it's a big swell day. So anyway, let's take a look at this page and see what it looks like. And we'll click the debugger and start up the site. Okay, and in keeping with looking at boots here, what we need to do now is click on this. As you can see, it's sending it to store apparel boots, boots 1. And notice that boots 1 is the very important part of this URL because it's going to trip the route that sends it off to the show page, or excuse me, the show action. And so here we have our detail page. Now, I realize it's not much of a detail page. It kind of just looks like the list with one item. So let's do something to kind of make sure that the client understands that this is what we're doing. So I have an idea. So we're at lipsum.com, which is a lorem ipsum generator. And if you've never seen lorem ipsum before, it's from Cyrano de Bergerac. It's Latin. Designers like to use this stuff to block out pages and to show text that doesn't mean anything. This is for various reasons. First and foremost is if you've ever done a design review for a client, you know that they like to look at the text on the page and then argue about it, even if it's just placeholder text like "I am a big gorilla." And a lot of times it'll get you in trouble as a developer, and I'm sure you guys know what I mean. Also, the length of each word approximates real text nicely. So you notice each one of the lengths of the words here really approximates what a natural sentence might be. Why in the world am I talking about lorem ipsum? Well, the reason why is because I want to put in some test reviews here so we can kind of have something to look at on the show page. And so I'm going to do that. And one of the things I don't want to do is just put in data that I make up because, you know, sometimes developers can get cranky or frustrated. I'm not cranky or frustrated, but the last thing you want to do, the last thing you want to allow any developers to do that are working with you is to put in their own fake test data. What you'll get back is, well, shall we say, risky at best. So what I would always recommend doing is heading over to lipsum.com and grabbing some lorem ipsum. So now what we can do is we can save this stuff down, and if we take a look at our site one more time and we click on the boots and we go back, and now we have some reviews, and they all are by Mr. Lorem Ipsum, and they all say the same thing. So that's good though, because it gives us now a nice sense of what this product page is going to look like, which I think approximates what we want. Okay, our demo is ready to go. You, the client, have seen it. I'd love to hear what you have to say, so please be liberal with your comments. This is the end of part 8.